The picturesque township of Kwamashu is about to get racy simply because it is gearing up for a very big weekend, renowned for its rich cultural heritage and also spirited community. I mean, this KZN township is going to be welcoming athletes and fans from around the globe. And being a KZN boy myself, I'm excited for the world to witness Kwamashu's resilience and unity that promises an unforgettable backdrop for this year's championships. What is it that I'm talking about, guys? I mean, it's heating up to host the Vela Solutions UCI Pump Track World Championship Finals this weekend, an event that marks the pinnacle of the 2024 season, bringing together the world's top riders from this year's qualifiers to compete for pump track glory. Now, the 2024 Vela Solutions UCI Pump Track World Championships will also highlight the impactful work, though. Was it going to take this in, guys? I mean, the work that Pump for Peace, as well as the Go Durban Cycle Academy have done, and to chat more on this groundbreaking event, so let's chat with former pro downhill mountain bike racer and also celebrated UCI commentator Claudio Caluri joins me in studio, a venerated driving force, I can tell you that much, in the cycling space. Claudio, good to see you. Welcome to the country. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Sure. I was going to say that we don't have such world superstars coming into our studio as often, but we are very, very honored to have you here. What's it been like as you start to look forward to Kwamashu and what's going to be happening on the weekend?
Well, quite a lot. Sorry if I'm slow responding today. I'm just getting up on coffee. Just came out of the airplane, didn't sleep, so I might be a bit slow.
Don't worry, you're doing well so far.
Yeah, so we have a quite exciting event this weekend. For us, it is very special to hold the World Championships finals on a Pump for Peace track, which is, you know, kind of the roots of where everything we do is based on. We always have this thinking of Pump for Peace in mind when we do, when we build our tracks, when we organize events, when we bring people together on our pump tracks. It's always with that thinking of Pump for Peace, meaning making cycling accessible to everyone in the world, not just to the first world, not just to the rich countries, but really everyone. We want everyone included in our sport. And so bringing the world's finals to Kwamashu is a very big thing for us.
How did you decide on Kwamashu? Because, you know, sometimes it's always important to get the backstory of why a certain place is chosen.
Well, we had the choice of quite a few cities this year. And when they told me these are the options, I said, well, we're certainly going to Kwamashu because that brings all of our efforts together with, as I said, making cycling accessible to everyone in the world. So if we just go and bring the finals to another rich city, we might have more spectators, yes. But the real story is we want everyone to have access to it, and therefore going to Kwamashu is key for us. If we can really make that happen, we have to choose that one. And so, yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, it's a great choice, I can tell you that much. And I was just looking at the background from yourself as a downhill mountain biker. You represented Switzerland. Tell us a little bit more, though, about that downhill career that you had. I mean, it was certainly not downhill. It was uphill all the way.
Well, you know, it wasn't quite as spectacular as your own Greg Minard that you have in your country, which is the greatest racer of all times. So I was nowhere near that. But still, I got 7 times national champion, which for my level was a good success. But then I gave up quite a lot sooner because I was also racing at the times of Greg Minard, only that he raced 10 years longer than me. Or even more than that. But after my racing career, I started doing those course previews on Red Bull TV during the Mountain Bike World Cup, and that was actually a bigger success than my racing career.
No, because I mean, everybody around the world knows the voice; they know you as a commentator of world renown. I mean, you're obviously very used to the microphone. That's your second home where you live, though. Have you found that transition? Obviously, everybody that listens to the commentary, they enjoy the insight that you bring. For you, what has been the standout moments?
Well, you know, everything developed quite organically, quite naturally. I never planned on anything. It was just one led to the other. And obviously, you know, when you feel like people appreciate what you're doing and people love what you're doing, it gives you wings. it makes you appreciate it even more. And the more you see how people love it, the more you love it yourself. And if you feel like what you're doing is giving something to the people. And again, that brings us back to the Pump for Peace topic, where when we build those tracks, you see all those kids having fun on it. It makes you want to do even more of that. And it was exactly the same when I did those course previews. When I saw how much people loved that, it made me want to go back and push the limits even further. And sometimes I pushed it a little too far.
Well, you need that, though, because I mean, it's been such an inspiring story. When I saw, you know, from the parent side, where hockey was a dominant sport that was played, and then you played it as well. And it was almost like you were saying earlier, that things happened that you did not plan. So when they, you know, got you your motorbike or the mountain bike, as it is, it was a case of, we're tired of driving you to these hockey practices. Please, here's the bike. You cycle yourself. You transport yourself for these hockey practices. And then as life would happen, this became you. This became your life, your journey, your profession, your job.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And then the transition from, as you said, first from hockey to mountain biking, that was first cross-country mountain biking. And then the same kind of incident led me from cross-country mountain biking to downhill mountain biking. Yeah. And then from there to the TV commentary and all of that, and to Velo Solutions as a company building tracks all around the world. One led to the other, and I never actually made a plan. It was just the universe doing its thing.
And when the universe does its thing, it does it beautifully, because you leave a mark. And as I was saying, that with the pump track specifically, now for a layman like myself, I've seen the cost of mountain bikes, and at times it's something that people cannot afford. They've got the talent, but then they can't afford it. What is it with Velo Solutions and Pump Track that can bring the sport, even for those who cannot afford the equipment?
Well, you know, the good thing about Pump Tracks is that you don't need an expensive bike for it. It's not like one of these bikes with suspension and gears and all of that. You can use the most basic bike. And that's one big advantage. And another big advantage is you don't even need bikes. You can also use a skateboard or inline skates or a scooter. Oh. Or that's why we use asphalt on it. It's not a dirt pump track, what we usually build. It's as asphalt, so you can use it in any weather and with any sort of wheels.
That is interesting, though, because, I mean, with pump track racing, competitors competing with either, you know, BMX or a mountain bike, I mean, are there huge differences, if you look at it, huge differences in the performance of those bikes? Because technically, I think you, more than anybody else, would know.
Well, you know, there is a bit of a debate going about that. A lot of people believe that BMX are a lot faster, and there might be a tendency in that. But we have to remember that the first official world champion that we had in 2019 in Switzerland, he was racing on a mountain bike. But ever since then, all the titles went to BMX. So let's see what happens this weekend. Obviously, the mountain bikers want the title back to their side. I wouldn't necessarily say that the advantage is the bike, but we must be aware that those BMX riders, they're just incredibly fit. They are training so hard, and the discipline is very close to BMX racing. So it is very tough for the mountain bikers to compete against the BMX racers, because their skills lie slightly somewhere else. They are, you know, on roots and rocks and much more technical stuff. While a pump track is also a technical discipline, but it is extremely physical as well. And BMX riders are just really well trained for that.
All right, when you come back from the break, we'll continue and also wrap our conversation with Claudia. But any of you mountain bikers out there that want to pose a question, please do reach out. Do send us a WhatsApp voice note, 060-708-0484. Otherwise, you can call us directly in studio, 011-883-8947. And this week, as we say, the world's best are going to be descending on the Pump for Peace track in Gwamashu for the Velo Solutions UCI Pump Track World Championships. And we'll touch on a little bit more, though, on what Pump for Peace initiative is all about.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Not your ordinary Monday. It's Reaction Monday. Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Rob. Yeah, very interesting race, you know, over the weekend. I think Max will take the championship again by the looks of it. I was really hoping for Norris to claim this championship because I'm not really a big fan of Max. But yeah, we'll see, you know, I'm still hoping that maybe a miracle will happen. But yeah, we'll see what happens. As for the DC ruling, isn't there a way that the PSL can deal with these fans, you know, rather than punishing the clubs? Because I don't think this method is working, because it's not really, you know, affecting the fans that much. It's affecting the club. So can't they find another way to deal with this type of situations?
Yes, Max Verstappen, definitely a championship driver. They can say what they want. They can penalize him, but he's the best. He's the GOAT of F1. And then Pirates, I can't believe what I saw. Guys, I really want to watch a game live in South Africa, but I don't want to go and be part of a team that the people misbehave. I don't want to be associated with people doing that.
Stick around with us. We'll make sure that you go to one of the local games. I'll certainly personally make sure that you go to a Pirates game. And yeah, people are not going to misbehave. It doesn't happen all the time. I think now and again, people get frustrated with referees and so on. But it is no reason for people to misbehave. I think the code of conduct within fans globally is the same. And when punitive action is taken, it's got to make sense to the supporters. And supporters have got to be hit hard. Yes, the clubs, and they suspend whatever sanction that they put up, and then they recommit to that crime again. So we don't want that. But all I'm saying is that you'll enjoy the atmosphere. It is something that we're going to be finding out later on from Mickey Jr., who had a great experience at the FNB Stadium. Or was it? Or wasn't it? I don't know. We'll find out from him. I'm looking forward to that conversation. But right now, Claudio Calori, founder of Velo Solutions, is here with me in studio. Gwamashu is going to be pumping. Hey, excuse the pun. It's going to be pumping this weekend. So Pump for Peace initiative, Claudio. Just describe it for us, though. What is it aimed at?
Well, you know, we founded that with the idea, or actually it based when we had our first exotic project in Thailand, yeah, near the Cambodian border, where we built this track for a very rich guy there, and we kind of didn't know if this actually fits into that area. We had a slum right next to the track, yeah, and it kind of didn't feel right to build such an expensive infrastructure there where we didn't know if the kids there were actually going to use that or if it was really just for those couple of rich guys. And then as soon as we poured out the last little bit of asphalt on the track, all the kids ran out from that slum,
yeah,
and started using the pump track with whatever they had, you know, old, yeah, rusty bikes with broken off pedals, barefoot on the axle. And I was like, wow. So this really works everywhere in the world. It doesn't just work in the rich countries.
Sure.
And so we thought, hey, we really must make this possible. We must facilitate this everywhere in the world, and therefore we founded Pump for Peace with the aim to make pump tracks possible everywhere in the world, be it in conflict areas, be it in poorer areas of the world. And so by now we have built quite a few, three of them in Lesotho, five of them in the townships around Durban. We have Rwanda, Uganda, Kenya, Nepal, and quite a few other countries. And those are, for me, the most exciting projects.
And it looks like, obviously, the impact is being felt. And that's exactly, I'm sure, what the intention was. But a number of people on social media are saying, you know, if we're looking to find more information on building the track or the work that you do through Pump for Peace, how can they get hold of you? Where can they go?
Well, we have the pumpforpeace.com or velosolutions.com. And I'm quite easy to reach. So we'll make sure there will be an answer very quick. Yeah. We usually only take 24 hours to answer the first question.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, I've seen your social media. I've seen your Instagram page as well. I know you exited Twitter a long time ago, which is probably at times good for your mental health. So, I mean, World Championships, as you said, guys, taking place in Itegwini this weekend. Some incredible talent that's going to be competing. There's also the defending champion coming through. Hey, Alex Bob?
Yeah, I think we have all the defending champions from the last couple of years, yes. So the level is going to be incredibly high. And I'm also very much looking forward to how the locals can keep up with the international riders.
And when they know that they've got people of that caliber who are going to be there, it will motivate. And trust me, South Africans are just sporting personalities, born with sporting blood in them. And whichever direction it takes them, you went one direction and that direction took you completely differently. And look where you are right now. So there's always hope for that to happen. Anything else that you want to share? Maybe I might have missed out.
Well, I think I'm not the only one really excited because basically the entire field of riders that we're bringing in from all over the world, for many of them, it's the first time in South Africa. And so for all of them, it's once in a lifetime experience. And so for us also, it's so cool to be in a different environment, to not just always be
in your comfort zone.
Basically. In the comfort zone, exactly. Yeah. So really looking forward to that.
Well, welcome, as I said, to the country again, founder of Vela Solutions, Claudia Calori. Thank you so much. You can go to your Instagram page, sorry. It is exactly that, Claudia Calori. I've tried my best. I didn't butcher the surname,
did
I?
You're doing good.
So you can visit him, check him out on the page, and get in touch as you've heard him live here on Hashtag MSW. And good luck for the weekend.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Hashtag MSW does continue as well. Send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Your frustrations, get it off your chest.
Living in Rob, I don't think it was necessary for Sundowns to bring that Champions League lineup. I mean, they enjoyed numerical superiority in all phases with that 3-4-1-2 formation and deploying Ribeiro between the lines, who will receive the balls nicely behind Zwane and Blom to launch those explosive attacks, make it difficult for our defenders to deal with an extra line, because when they try to close him down, then free up Ushasha and Reyners. And the year Masha became player of the season, Kazande was the shield, but our current defensive mates are exposing our defenders, and Ranga is not using the chances that we're getting effectively, because those are small chances that we need to capitalize on. As for Ulukolo Badi and his team to allow Sandos players to play with black tights, when the uniform rules are clear that the tights must be the same color as the main color of the shorts, those are some of the terrible errors that we saw. But I think that goal was legit. You cannot be offside from being behind the ball, and I think our defenders didn't read that situation well. But I think we need to accept that Kaizer Chiefs is not where many of us think it is at the moment. Thank you so much, Tebogo.
Hey, and where is it? Does anybody know? Where is Kaizer Chiefs right now? And I suppose the same question is being asked of another team.
Oh, Tarop, this is Bera from Roodepoort. Tarop, besides the main event of Kaizer Chiefs losing 4-0 to Mamelodi Sundowns, I think there is an issue that needs to be looked at. The Rockets, TX Galaxy, what is happening there? I'm becoming worried. We are losing more teams, and this might not be good for South African soccer. Let's look into it, Brarock. Let us send all your investigators and people on the ground to check exactly what is happening there. Thanks, Tarop.
Yeah, TX Galaxy. Anyone able to answer that?
Good evening, Rob. Good evening to the listeners, speaking to Ryan in Old Swarren. My comment is twofold, you know, regarding Chiefs. As a Patriots supporter, firstly, I'll go back to what Dudu said on your phone. Is that when Nabi came, he came with his whole entourage, you know. He needs to have a South African coach on his technical team to give him insight regarding conditions, insight regarding teams you're playing, you know. You're going to get all this thing from stats, you know. We need a human, South African human body physically there in his team, you know. And then secondly is that in the past, Chiefs used to be trendsetters when it came to the marketing communications department. But now these days, they are really following the trends of Orlando Pirates and Sundowns, to a point even that the fans now copy Orlando Pirates singing and stuff like that, you know. So they need to rework that department, you know, get a great marketing strategist in that department, you know, as well as an African coach, you know, a certain coach. And then that marketing strategist, he will rework that department once there's confidence off the field. It will reflect on the field, you know, because they're only there because you get your diehard fans, you know, but how you get your new fans, how you're relevant to new people, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, when you're talking about, you know, Nabi needing, you know, South Africans in the technical team or an assistant coach, maybe it's going to be something we'll touch on. So we're taking all your WhatsApp voice notes. We're going to be reacting because that's what we're here for.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Merawa. My Monday reaction is with regard to the security lapses at our stadiums, which poses a huge threat to the future of our football. Yes, the PSL will come up with its own generic response. Let's find Kaizer Chiefs. But what's next? Mr. Merawa, my question here is, do we offer proper training to our security personnel at our stadiums? I don't think so, because when you watch other leagues like the La Liga, the security personnel often face the crowd, meaning they're monitoring the crowd, whereas our security personnel often face opposite to the crowd, meaning the problem is the training. Thanks, David in Parkwood.
David, I think that's a very legit point. How much training do these security personnel get? I'm not going to put my head on the block on this, but in the many trips, because remember, if you've been working for a broadcaster and you get to the stadium before the fans get to the stadium, you're able to see what is happening beforehand, and you see the security personnel being given their bibs and they're being introduced to where they're going to be, you know, marshalling during the game. And at times you would find that they would not be training with a lot of the security. There would be personnel who were told X, Y, and Z that they need to do. But from a professional training perspective, I don't know if things in 2024 have improved.
Robert, what is the date today? Robert, it's the 4th. Good afternoon to you, Rob. Good afternoon to your listeners. Zia, Deben, Mlas. Wow, Robert, it's Reaction Monday. What a good game of football. Kaizer Chiefs against Mamelodi Sundowns. Well, Robert, I think Sundowns, they play very well. They show character. And then everybody knows that Sundowns was going to win that game. It was clear. Kaizer Chiefs, I think maybe after two or three seasons, they can compete with Mamelodi Sundowns. But now, no ways. No ways. And it shows that Serino is a quality player. I'm talking about Serino. Serino is a quality player. And you can see that he needs another experienced players, maybe three or four experienced players around him, so that he can able to play, to make Kaizer Chiefs play. Because Mduduzo Shabalala is still young star, and other one is still young. So, Rob, it's still going to be tears in Ashurena. Thanks very much, Rob. Nice show.
Oh, thank you so much, man. He was reminding us of the date today, the date being the 4th of November, 2024. And whatever the score was over the weekend, for what it's worth, eh? Tell you what, football fanatics, and there's a guest of mine who's a football fanatic himself. Prepare yourselves for an exciting, passionate conversation because, I mean, this man is a true football maniac. Mickey Jr. is known for his dedication to reporting on the latest football news. His love for the sport has taken him to all corners of the continent as well as the globe. I mean, what a vibe, digital joy this man is. From breaking exclusive stories to traveling to witness epic matches and derbies, I mean, Mickey Jr. is always on the go. But this time, he went above and beyond, making the journey to South Africa to experience the Mzansi passion firsthand. I mean, he joins me here in studio to share the unforgettable experience of the football crazy nation of South Africa. Mickey, good to see you. Welcome to SA. Welcome to the studio. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here. I mean, when I first got the message, you know, I don't know how to describe that feeling to be on your show. So I'm excited to be here and greetings to all the listeners as well.
F&B Stadium. You journey through. The tickets are ready. You're posting that you're going to the game. Mamelodi Sundowns up against Kaizer Chiefs. What's going through your mind?
I mean, as people, or I mean, as an African football lover, that has always been my dream, you know, travel around the continent and enjoy the biggest games that you will find. And so, you know, when that draw was made, I was like, I need to make it to this game, eh? So, I mean, when I came down, I saw the excitement that was at the stadium. I saw how everybody, you know, the passion for that match, the fans, whether Chiefs side or Sundown side, I mean, everybody was ready for that game. And I mean, it was just an incredible feeling.
What was it that when you saw the draw said to you, you need to be at the F&B Stadium? Was it the fact of the resurgence of Kaizer Chiefs, the impact of a Nasreddine Nabi, what you know of the man having covered him so extensively on the continent?
I think it has to be all of them put together. I cannot separate, I mean, anything so that, you know, it doesn't look like you are on the side of one team and not on the other side. But I think that I just want to, you know, experience everything that comes with it, whether on the side of Chiefs with Nabi in, how they are playing, you know, trying to wake up like giants, you know, they fall asleep, let me put it that way. And with Sundowns, all the quality that they have in their squad, we, you know, I am just excited. I want to be part of that feeling. I want to witness things for myself. It doesn't always have to be you behind the keyboard and then you type in and posting. But when you are there, you get a chance to, you know, just like you were saying, experience everything with yourself, with your own eyes. I mean, I don't think that I regret coming.
What was the standout moment for you on Saturday?
Everything that comes with it, eh? Yeah. Because I realized that even when I was in the stadium, I can see people still coming in. And so it means that the passion of South African football lovers, whether Chiefs fans or Sundowns fans, I mean, everything that comes with it, you know, how the game was hyped. I mean,
did it live up to the expectations?
From my side, yes, it did. Because I post not only for South Africans, but for people in Africa to see. And, you know, the comments were coming and everybody was like, whoa, incredible. Look at the fan base, you know, look at the passion. And I realized like people were cheering from the whistle, the start to the end. I mean, it's incredible. Everything lived up to expectation.
All right, don't go anywhere because when you come back from the break, we'll take some of your calls. Remember, guys, it is your show on a Monday, 011-883-8947. Otherwise, send us a WhatsApp voice note, 060-708-0484. Or tune in to the YouTube channel. You can post your comments, listen, watch everything all in one. Mickey Jr. will continue with us. Don't go anywhere.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live. At the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Askakoshwa, ukuthi chisi liwe. Askakoshwa, ukuthi chisi liwe. Ya, Robert Marawa, umfulunga ashilo eTheben. Engre ekta ngakho nje mina ukuthi hayi. As usual, baphinde banziwa njalo futhi. Ngiyabonga, Danko.
Good evening, Rob, and also good evening to our listeners. I'd like to talk about Kaizer Chiefs. I know our fans are really angry about what happened on Saturday. All I can say is that it was a bad day in the office for us. We'll bounce back soon. The only mistake that I think we made on Saturday was to play both Blom and Zwan at the same time. But it's fine because our boys are still learning, even though some of our supporters will say it was a cup game, there's no time to learn. But we need to learn because we're playing with the youngsters. So I'm still proud of my team and will always be proud of my team. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I'd also like to talk about Coach Dendens. I wish him all the best and I hope he will be the one who will lift the cup. Thank you, Rob. Modise for Mutlaging.
Talking about bounce back, what? For how long?
Not your ordinary Monday. It's Reaction Monday. Hashtag MSW.
Say goodbye to the weekend. Hello Monday. Yeah, football journalist, you know, originated all the way in Ghana, but has been to almost every country on the continent and also around the world. Mickey Jr. Joins me for his experience over the weekend at the FNB Stadium. You've seen now, Nabi, you've seen the frustration when you get beat 4-0 by Mamelodi Sundowns. It's not a good picture to paint for the fans. Where are they getting it wrong, Kaizer Chiefs?
I mean, I think that everything has to start from, you know, from when he first took off the job. You know, with a club like Chiefs, you know, many of us way back, that was a club we knew, as well as Orlando Pirates, because of the history they have. And then, you know, the legends, the quality of players they produced in the past. I mean, the trophies they've won, we have seen it all. And I think that when Nabi took the job, you know, the squad need to be strengthened because, you know, the inexperience is too much. And then with a club like Chiefs, you need to win regardless. You need to win. And I think that that is what needs to be worked on going forward. And one question, it depends if they are going to give him time. I'm just hoping that he doesn't lose his next games because I fire.
You reckon? Do you think he's a game away from, you know, Chiefs fans' patience being finally tested?
Of course, no doubt. Like I was saying earlier, a club like Chiefs, you need to win, you know. And then because of the squad that he's having at his disposal, he will surely need to be, you know, they need to perform to the highest level. And doing that, you know, it comes by winning games because mostly when you lose or you fail, people don't listen to excuses. And that is what I think that, yes, the fans will turn, surely, but I hope not.
All right, so the number in studio is 011-883-8947. Mickey Jr. is my guest. Let's go to East Rand. Deboko, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, Rob, and good evening to Mickey Jr. Welcome to South Africa, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, Mickey, you saw a banner that was displayed by Wydad supporters yesterday making reference to love. What do you make of that banner? And do you think they are possibly going to get a local assistant coach for Coach Rulani Mokoena on that side? Thank you so much. Deboko,
thank you very much indeed. Yeah, I was saying during the break that we'll get to talk about Rulani. Great reception that he got. It was fanfare. It was Hollywood. It was superstar type of welcome that he deserves and deserved, having left the mark at Mamelodi Sundowns and in South Africa. But things seem to have caught a little bit of a speed wobble right now. How do you respond to the question from Deboko?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. Wydad had a quality coach based on the, you know, things he did in South Africa, climbing up north. The expectation was always going to be very high. You need to win. And Wydad, you know, wearing the Wydad we knew for the past two seasons. Let's not even forget, they didn't qualify for the Champions League this year. And so it means that with an experienced coach like, you know, Rulani coming in, the expectation will obviously, will always be so high. But he's not really getting it. Even, you know, yesterday has to be his first away win, being in Morocco. And so it means that it will. Yesterday he was calling for time. But we all know that those guys up there, no patience.
But he was calling for time. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mickey, he was using the age factor, mm-hmm. that they need to be patient for somebody who's 37 years of age as a coach. Is that a factor? Is that something that they will bite?
I don't think so. Those guys, I know them so well. They have no time. They don't care whether you are 20 years, whether you are 60 years. And I don't think that it was, you know, it was some way. If I am Mokoena, I will never talk about age.
Yeah.
My focus has to be how I'm going to train that team, how I'm going to wake them up to perform. Let's not forget we have the Club World Cup coming up. And that is where you are going to even be tested the most. And so I think that we need to put age aside. He needs to work and make sure that he brings the smiles that Wydad fans need. And doing so, it is results and performance that we tell.
Because North Africa, you know, the impatience levels are higher than anywhere else. And like you rightfully said, they pulled the trigger pretty soon and early. But we've also seen it's a new everything, you know, from the leadership, president, everybody else. It's new. But the club is old and the fans are not new. So they want the results to be immediate. How much longer do you think they'll give him?
It will be hard to predict. Eh?
Yeah.
Very, very difficult to predict. But I'm just hoping that, you know, the president seems to be backing him for now. But let's not forget that the club is not only run by the president.
Yeah.
And once the fans even turn, the fans are more than the president. And once they turn against you, they turn against the president, they stop coming to your games, you have to react. You have to make the call as a president. And that is my only fear. But it will be tough, to be very frank. I'm just hoping that he can finish the season. But If the results are not coming, I'm afraid the trigger will be pulled.
So what does that mean to a football player like Mailula? Because I've been tracking their social media as well, and people are very impatient, like we've said. So they're not only just saying, Mokoena, your time is almost up, but they're also saying, yeah, take your Mailula as well. They say it in harsher tones. I can even put a racism factor to it, because they're targeting one or two of the players that Mokoena has brought. And if it's Mailula, it's for obvious reasons why. As well, is he worthy of that kind of reaction from the fans? Has he been that bad?
I think that the fans have been unfair in that situation, because he's a player who, I mean, in the US he wasn't really playing so much, and so it means that as now he's coming, he needs a bit of time. But like we keep saying, in Morocco, in North Africa, they don't have time, and I'm afraid for Mailula, yes, because once the trigger is pulled on the head coach, he follows him.
Sure.
No doubt about that. And because Mokoena brought him. So that's it.
So do you think that is why Ebongani Zungu, after spending a bit of time training with the club, decided to hop back into the flight back to SA?
Yes, because per what I'm told, he failed to impress. And let's not forget that he's also been out for a while. And, you know, with clubs like Wydad, Raja, they sign players to come and perform. They have no time. He's 20 years. Let's give him. They want you to come and perform, because for them, they want results. They compare themselves to the likes of Ali, you name them, the biggest clubs on the continent. And when they do so, they want results immediately. And that's why Zungu, for me, I'm not surprised, because he failed to impress, and there was no time. It's past the preseason era. And so he needs like almost 6 months or 5 months for him to, you know, pick up his form. And they have no time, so he has to leave.
A couple of comments that are coming through on the YouTube channel. Tsekofatso Motswetswe says, bit by bit, I'm starting to have some doubt on Nabi, both tactically and in terms of his technical team's discipline. And also, Yutru says, I heard that Mickey is going to be on the show today. I am marking my register, sir. Yeah, he is. Yep, he is live and in person. And then Raymond was also saying that Mickey Jr. is coursified. Welcome to South Africa. Mickey Jr. in the building. That's from Khonze. Hey, you got a big fan base here. Says Mkokeli Sihlola, says Sundowns has no match in South Africa. All these teams are just below par. Full stop. And Yutru says, I am not making excuses for Kaizer Chiefs fans, but however, it's very tough for them. You know, 80,000 Kaizer Chiefs fans only. Then you're 4-0 down. That's very, 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 very tough. Fulufelo says, can you ask Mickey, what was the conversation between him as well as Rowan Williams?
Yeah, I mean, after the game, we obviously he knew I would be coming. So after the game, I was just saying that it's unfortunate he didn't win the Best Keeper Award at the Ballon d'Or, but we are still with him, because people like us in African football, we want to see whether the coaches, whether the, you know, the biggest players always make it to the top. So I was telling him that he still needs to keep up his form, keep working hard. There's CAF Awards coming up in December. He has all my support and push.
What was his take, though? I mean, what is his raw feeling? We haven't spoken to him post the Ballon d'Or award.
Yeah, I mean, with the few words he shared with me, I mean, obviously quite disappointed. Because, you know, if you look at his numbers and his stats and the achievement, I think that he did far, far better than most of the people in that top 10. But the people decided, and it's what it is. But I just assured him that he should keep working hard. CAF Awards is coming up. Once he even win that, it's big for him and for South Africans at large.
You know, also, I lost hope when I was listening to the UEFA president, and he was being quoted as far as the main award with Vinicius Junior that was being put forward, and why Rodri would have won, given the stats and the numbers. And Chefferin was talking about what Junior does. So it's two Junior, Mickey Junior and Vinicius Junior. But this time Vinicius, what he does with the fans. So he's almost blaming him for the interactions that he has with the fans. But half the time, those fans have been sanctioned for racism. So how can he not react with the fans as well? What did you make of that statement?
Yeah, I think it doesn't only have to be the fans. Because the people who make the decision, the coaches, the journalists who do the voting, if you attack a player or a fan from their country and that fan is sanctioned, it means that it has to go against them. And they bring those emotions and feelings during the vote. You understand? So it's not only mainly the fans, but once, let's say, journalists have their clubs they love and support. And so once a fan from that particular club is banned or sanctioned, it goes a long way to the journalists. And when they are going to do the voting, you know, they vote. Some of them vote based on emotions and feelings. So that's why.
Who would he have given it to?
No doubt. It's still Rodri. I would still maintain Rodri.
It's still, okay. All right. We got a message on the YouTube channel. Joseph Queen Chabangu says, know what good things Rulani can do. He says, no good things that Rulani can do or archive or achieve with We Dead Arabs. He says they are full of discrimination because of the color of his skin. He says, I stayed in Egypt. I know North Africans. They're full of very, very bad attitude. Deboho Mahlangu says, good evening. I like the confusion caused by the Sundowns coach. Says, what weekend they're with him or they're gone. The following week, they don't have any competition. So the mind games, you know, continue. What's your mind games with South African Twitter here? Because somebody was tweeting just now. They were saying, this is from Football Stage. I don't know, he had a love-hate relationship. He says, please tell him to stop being emotional when he interacts with South African football Twitter fraternity. Thanks, bye.
No, it's not emotional. It's just that many times people don't understand how our work is, you know. Because sometimes the news comes in and it favors a particular club. Sometimes it doesn't. And so when you put it out there, people feel like, he doesn't like my club. He hates my club. But it's not like that, you know. Everything that happens, we don't take it so serious. It's just part of the job.
Itaola Matluputu, Mr. Alagasha, Konala, what's up? Would like to welcome Mfanage to Mikichuna. Jablu Ilumuzu Wuti, he enjoyed the game between Mamelodi Sundowns and the Kaizer Chiefs FNP. And to get a perspective from outside the country about our football is very good. And Matluputu, man, Gimtempisile, Mfarumtal Wuti, Mzumtata, Nimfagin, I feel for his way to Tabayoli, Yaman Togo, Yabona, Azale, Apuzena Mahiu. Matluputu, keep on doing the good Sbonge Matluputu.
Thank you so much indeed. You were saying that for the Soweto derby, you need to come back. Have you ever eaten sheep's head?
No, but I will be back for two games. I'm looking at, I will be back for the derby, no doubt, Chiefs versus Orlando Pirates. And I will come back again for Orlando Pirates versus Ali in the Champions League.
Oof. So you choose the big ones, boss. Mm-hmm. Hey, so this thing called Scopo, when you say that Scopo.
Scopo.
Yeah, Scopo is what we're going to feed you when you come back for the next game.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, but for now, thank you so much, man. Keep doing the job that you're doing. Never fear. You're a fearless human being, and we love that. And thank you very much indeed for joining us on the show.
My big pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Safe journey back home, man. Safe journey back home. Mickey Jr., football journalist. Follow him on Twitter, on X. He will give you everything that is breaking as well in the world of football. Tune in again tomorrow for Marawa Sports Worldwide, brought to you by Hollywood Bets.
From the pitch to the podium, your all-access pass to the world of sport is right here. Marawa Sports Worldwide on 947. Vuma FM. And Rise FM. Powered by Hollywood Bets. Hashtag MSW live on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.